Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Hack Your Habits, part one this morning. And I'm so excited for 2019. This is my favorite time of the year because there's like this sense of intentionality in the air. Like people are making New Year's resolutions. Who's made some New Year's resolutions? Who's already broke them? I'll raise my hand with you. And I just like this time of year, but it's a special time of year for our church because we always decide to pray first before we do anything. We give the first of our year as a church to dedicating it to 21 days of prayer and fasting. And tomorrow, we start that journey together. And what I'm looking for from our church is that you may not be called to fast all 21 days, but here's what I want from every person in this room who calls My City Church home. I want you to embrace the spirit of this season, that you would make some more room for God in your life, that you would dedicate more time to prayer and just believing that God's going to speak to you because he's got great things in 2019 for your life. Let's put God first in our life. Encourage you each and every day. We're going to have blog posts up, daily devotionals. Stop by the My City Church blog and find those videos to encourage you throughout the time. I want to give a huge round of applause to Jerry, who's worked so hard at kind of putting all the stuff together and quarterbacking all of it. And you're a gift to me. You're a gift to this church. And when we started this church, I don't know why I'm doing this. Here we go. When we started this church, I prayed that God would send me a man of prayer that would cover me and my wife as we try to reach people and do something that wasn't typical church. And God sent us, you and Jamie, and I'm so thankful for you. And the influence you've just the difference that you've made in our life, I just value you so much. Can we give Jerry a big round of applause? And Jamie, they're amazing people. And anyway, so hack your habits. How many of you know your habits are a big deal? They're a big deal in your life. Like, here's what I want you to understand. We are what we repeatedly do. That's a great philosopher who wrote that. I can't remember who it was, but we are what we repeatedly do. So if we want to change a part of who we are, we got to change some of what we do. But the beautiful part is that change always starts on the inside of us, not on the outside of us. Here's the crazy thing about habits. Me and you, we form habits, and then our habits end up forming us. Let me say that again. We form habits, then our habits end up forming us. So really, the good, the bad, the ugly, the things we celebrate, and the things that we don't want to celebrate, were really formed in us by the habits that we develop. And over this series, what I want to do is I want to look at habits. But not only that, I want to look at God's truth, God's word, because I think he's got some hacks, some things that we should put first, things that we should do first that make all the other habit changes a little bit easier. There's a great book that's called Lynchpin Habits. And it's the thesis is this, that there are some habits that if you change them, there's a cascading effect where all these other habits begin to fall in line. And I believe God has those kinds of hacks for our habits, that if we'll grab a hold of them, we'll find a whole lot of other change just taking care of itself. So if you got your Bibles with me, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, I'm going to be reading out of the Message paraphrase just because I love the way that it writes it. It says this, fix your attention on God. That's awesome. Let's say that out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you. Isn't that good news today? That what God wants to do in your 2019 is bring out the best in you. Developing well-formed maturity in you. Today I want to talk to you about this first hack for your habits, and here's what it is. focus on what I do first. Focus on what I do first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that your presence is here. Lord, I can so sense you. God, I pray that today you would challenge people. God, that you lift people's heads, that hope would enter our hearts, and that hope would lead us to a bold action of faith in our world. God, I pray, Lord God, over every family, over every marriage, over every person in this room, God, that 2019 would be a year of favor over their life in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, can we give Jesus a big round of applause before we move any further? So I got a question for you today. Have you ever tried out something new and realized that you weren't prepared to really succeed at it? Like, have you ever done that? Like, you had high hopes, like you were trying something brand new, and then you tried it and you're like, wow, that was a whole lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. I remember last year, I don't know how this had happened in my life, but I had never been skiing before until last year. I had a group of pastor friends around the country. They text me and they're like, hey, we're getting together. We're going to go to Breckenridge and we're going to ski and we're not going to eat the brownies. Some of you are like, did you eat the brownies? No, I did not eat the brownies, okay? Some of you will get that tomorrow. Okay, here we go. And so we get there, we get to Breckenridge, and we go skiing, and I've never been before. I mean, I grew up in the desert, okay? The closest thing that we have to skiing is skateboarding, and that's about it. And so, but I always thought, I'm like, I'm pretty athletic. Like, I grew up playing sports. I feel pretty athletic. Some of you are looking at me right now and going, I don't see it, dude. And it's, hey. I'm trying to hack my habits, okay? But I always feel like I was a pretty athletic. And so I'm like, I'll get this thing, you know? So I get there, I'm a little nervous, okay? Because the guys that I'm skiing with are all pastor friends, but some of them are like level 10 skiers. You know, they're like ski champions. I'm like, what do you do all day? I'm trying to pastor a church. How do you ski this much, you know? And so they were like, oh, man, you get it. You're athletic. It's no big deal. So we do the whole thing. You get your skis and whatever. And we were staying in a cabin that you skied out of, like straight into, you know, the ski resort. And so we come out, and I've got the skis on, and I'm looking. There's like a little pathway, and I'm like, I'm cruising along. I'm like, I got this. This feels pretty good. Like, and all my friends are like, see, you got it. No problem. You're going to do great. And then they were like, but just to make sure, we're going to put you on the little kiddie hill. And so you feel kind of goofy because you got to go over there and you get on a conveyor belt. You're like, and you're like, and there's like a row of children behind you. And you're like, hi, grown adult. How's it going? And get up to the top. And then you go. I just want to say, whoever designs these has got to design one a little bit more challenging. It is not a fair representation of what you will experience when you get on that mountain. I remember getting up there, and I go down it, and I just skim down it a couple times. They're like, oh, man, see, you got this. This is no problem. And so I'm overly confident at this point. I've got big hopes, you know what I mean? Like, and so we get onto the lift. Now, that in and of itself is very, very dangerous if you've never done that before. But I got over it. I got on the lift, and we got up, and we're going up, and my friend's riding with me, and he's like, oh, man, you're going to do so good. He's like, I'm borrowing faith. You know what I mean? Like, he's building up my hope, and like the whole way up, I'm starting to realize, man, I've got some uphill hope, literally. Like, I'm hoping, like, and this is going to be a fun time. I'm going to really enjoy this. So we get off the thing. We start going down the mountain, and it's not bad at first. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm a little wobbly, but it's okay, you know? And then we start going down, and then these signs, black, green, blue, you know what I mean? There's so many people, and I don't know how to navigate this. So, like, any mature person with wisdom, I just followed whoever's in front of me. And so we start going down the hill, right? And all of a sudden, I see those signs, and it says green this way. Now, I knew green was like the second on the scale, and I think they were trying to push me a little bit. So I'm like, I got this, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I don't want to, I'm a bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to do this thing. So we start going down, and we start going, and all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, this is starting to get really, really fast. Like, I'm freaking out a little bit. You get to that point where you're like, do I jump off these? Do I keep going? And so I'm kind of at that point, and then all of a sudden I see a fork in the thing. There's no signs. So I just keep following. Well, what I didn't know is that they really wanted me to go right because it was going to lead me to a blue. They went left, which was a black. So I get down over the thing and we start going and I look down this hill and I'm like, well, there's no stopping now. You know what I mean? So I just go and I make it like 2 feet and then I fall down and then I get back up and I'm like, wow, okay. So I start going again. I make it another 10 feet. Then I fall down again. And every time I'm like tumbling down the hill. Now there's these safety people, okay? Have you seen these people? They have vests on. They start congregating around me. Like, I'm trying to go down the mountain. I start to see people in orange vests following me around, you know? And I keep falling. And I'm at the point where I'm just like, I just want to go down this mountain. And so I'm going to go as fast as I can. You know what I mean? So I'm, boom, you know, and topple, skis are off. The safety people are trying to help me, you know what I mean? And I finally look at the safety people. I'm like, I got this. They're like, sir, we're not worried about you anymore. We're worried about the other people you may injure, okay? I'm like, this is comforting, you know? And so I'm trying to get through this thing, and finally I get to the bottom of it, and I can see, like, that there's an end in sight. I said, forget the skis. I just held them, and I'm running down the mountain like this. I get to the, I'm just like, I'm going to the jacuzzi. I'm done. I'm done with this. And I looked, I remember getting to the bottom, and I looked up the mountain, and I went, man, I had so much hope when I was going up the hill. And now I'm hopeless at the bottom of the hill. I got to thinking about that and just thinking about how that little scenario, I think, mimics life so much. We all have like so much hope. And then what? We start doing the course of life and we start to realize that our hopes were greater than our execution. And all of a sudden, what started off as high hopes pretty much ends in hopelessness and just going, I don't know if I'm really cut out to do that thing. Here's what I want you to understand. It's really the thesis statement for our whole series. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. Let me say that again. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. See, what we've got to learn how to do is to have uphill hope. But if our habits don't match our hope, what we are setting ourselves up to do is to struggle. See, I had uphill, literally, uphill hopes. But my what? My execution, the habits that I had developed, the muscle memory, the balance, the things that make a great skier had not been developed. There was nothing wrong with my hope. But my habits did not match my hope. Could it be that this year, God wants you to embrace some stuff that is hard? Like, I know, like, sometimes, like, we love God because we're like, man, I was a sinner. I couldn't save myself. So God did all the heavy lifting. And I say, yes, that is 100% true. You couldn't save yourself. You needed a savior. Jesus came to rescue us. It was all him, had nothing to do with me. But now, I am living a life of following Jesus. And Jesus wants to develop in me some maturity. There's a big problem in my world, like my son right now. We're potty training. What a joy. If I am still periodically wiping his gluteus maximus when he's 17, how many of you know we got a big problem? Because what? Once somebody matures, we expect them to have what? Certain kinds of habits, certain kinds of things in your life. Could it be that this year, some of the greatest things that God wants to do in your life are going to be the difficult ones? They're going to be uphill habits. Let me say it to you like this. Everything worthwhile is uphill. Let me just say that to you in your life. Like, if you want to demystify how God works in our life, or really just how life in general works, everything worthwhile in life is uphill. I just want you to think about it. Your marriage. I love my wife. I love being married to her. It's been a total downhill slope for me, but she's had it's all uphill for her putting up with me. The reality is for all of our married people in here, you realize marriage is the most rewarding thing, but it's one of the most uphill things you'll ever do. Raising children, there's nothing that brings me more joy than my little boy. But it is an uphill thing. It is an uphill thing. Could it be that we are consistently running away from the uphill thing God's called us to? And that's why we wind up with hope deferred and a heart sick. I want to challenge you today that what you're going to need through this season of Hack Your Habits through the new year is you're going to have to embrace an uphill battle, which means you're going to have to not be afraid of failure. I want to give you three things here real quick that you're going to need for this journey of Hack Your Habits. Three things you're going to need to hack your habits. And number one, you're going to need some hope for your future. See, hope isn't a strategy, but hope gets us started. If you don't have hope that things can get better, that thing that you struggle with, that thing that you want to see a turnaround in, if you don't have hope that your marriage can get better, if you don't have hope that child will come home to Jesus, if you don't have hope for those things, you know what? You'll never even get started. See, we need hope to get us moving in the right direction. I'm reminded of this woman found in John chapter 4. Jesus has an afternoon encounter at a well with her. She comes, she's getting water midday, and Jesus begins to talk to her about water, and he says, hey, would you go get your husband and then come back? I'd like to talk to you more. She goes, well, sir, I don't have a husband. And he says, you've answered correctly. You've had 5 husbands, and the one that you live with right now is not your husband. So she looks at him, and she goes, oh, I can tell you're a prophet. Ding, 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 ding. What was Jesus doing? Was Jesus just pointing this out because Jesus had nothing better to do? Like, ah, gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. No, Jesus is trying to show her, you've lost some hope. You've had this problem, and then this problem, and then this problem, and then this problem, and now you've just relegated, I'm just not going to embrace that problem anymore. I've lost some hope for the journey. And look at how Jesus responds to her. John chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. Jesus answered, if you knew, if I had a word from God, this is a moment where I normally don't do stuff like this, but I really feel like this is a word from God for you. Wherever is hopeless, here's what I want you to get. But God. If you only knew what God wants to do. That's what Jesus said. If you only knew the generosity of our God. If you only knew that God wants to give you a turnaround year, a turnaround season where what? Hopelessness turns into faith. If you only knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water. Here's what I want to encourage you today. What if we just believed again? What if you went after it again? What if you got some hope back to your life? What if you only knew the generosity of God? If you only knew the stories that God wants to rewrite this year in 2019 in this room. Seasons of broken relationships being mended. Seasons of families coming back together. Seasons of God doing things that seem impossible right now. If you only knew the generosity of God. If you only knew what God wants to do. Can we get some hope back in our lives? Number two, you're gonna need to leave some things behind. Do you realize that there are some things and some relationships and some habits and some problems, you're gonna have to leave them behind. Like that's gonna be a physical choice to leave them behind. It's kind of an old school word and it's been misused so much, I think we really shy away from it, but the Bible word is repentance. Repentance is not, God, I'm awful. I'm so sorry. Here's what repentance is. Repentance is looking at something going, that's not what God has for me. I'm going to turn away from it, and I'm going to go to the opposite direction. It's just a change of mind. Look at what the Apostle Paul, he understood about leaving some stuff behind. This gives me so much hope. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says this, I have not achieved it. That's hope for everybody in this room. This is the Apostle Paul. I've not achieved it. I haven't hacked all my habits. I haven't got everything put together properly. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. What would happen this year if we got some hope back and we left some things in the past that need to stay there and we about-faced and we begin to pursue God and move towards what he has for us? I think it could change everything for you this year. Number three, you're going to have to build some new habits. I want to highlight this word build. Build. It doesn't say fall into new habits. It doesn't say slip into new habits. Those are called downhill habits. The reason we have uphill hopes and downhill habits is because hope doesn't really require anything but a creative mind. The willingness to believe, the willingness to see something different. But habits require us to be what? Intentional, to build, to discipline, to lead. Some of you are like, oh man, I'm never coming back here. These are all curse words. These are all curse words. That pastor cussed the whole message. We're going to have to build new habits. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to build them. And here's why. You know what God's great goal for you in 2019 is? To build maturity in you. That's what our opening verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. It says, fix your attention of God and you'll be changed where? From the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of downhill habits. It's a level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you, developing uphill habits, producing maturity in you, that what? That when we make a confession that the best is yet to come, we have something more than just a lofty idea to stand on. We've got God's word working in our lives, building new habits in our life. That's what God wants to do. I think God wants to do something so great in your life that you look back from at the end of 2020 going, man, I had no clue. I was so immature. I had no idea about the goodness of God and what God wanted to do with us. So let's look at this first hack, this first truth that you'll find throughout the entire Bible, and it's this. Focus on what I do first. The first of a thing sets the agenda for the rest of the thing. Have you noticed that when you start something right, it's a whole lot easier to keep it going in the right direction? But when you start something wrong, it takes that much more effort to turn that situation around? This is one of those things, like that me and you got to focus on what God has called us to first. What are the first things that I should be doing that can what? Set the agenda for the rest of the thing. So if we were to think about doing something first, going into 2019, what would that be? What should we do first? What should we put first? And here's what I want you to get today. Put God first. Just put God first. There, you cannot go wrong with putting God first. That's what our passage of scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it starts off with what? Fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. What are we looking? We're looking for the attention or the change, but we don't want to redirect our attention. God wants our attention to be on him. We got to fix our attention on him. We've got to put him in first place. Could it be that God has engineered the whole world to work this way? That God literally, from the fabric of the way humanity and the world is built, he put himself at first place. Let's check out the first four words of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, come on, everybody. In the beginning, God. These are the first four words. I think God's trying to tell us about what the great agenda is. That our lives are built out of God, from God, for God. That me and you were created to worship more than we were to do anything else. And so when we get that piece right, when we put God in first place, everything else begins to be ordered correctly in our lives. Here's how I'd say it to you. If God is not first place in your life, he's not the Lord of your life. And I know that can sound pretty heavy. But let me say it to you again. If God is not first place in your life, he's not the Lord of your life. See, what God wants to do in your world is to take first place because he understands this is how it is engineered. And here's the real news is God won't take second place. See, my fear is that we've kind of created like a God that we speed date. You know what I mean? Like we wait till we're at the bottom of the hill and our habits and we're just like, oh God, help me. Help me, God. Help me. And God's like, I would love to, but here's what it's going to require. You got to put me first place. And we keep on going through this cycle of up and down. Could it be that God is saying, hey, I don't want to just be a part of your life. I want to be the Lord of your life. I want to be God. That's who I am. And until here's the really unfortunate thing. Until we let God be God, we don't know how to be human. We don't know how to be who we are called to be. This is why God was like pretty adamant about this throughout the whole Bible. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. This is the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Like, it's not because God is bored or jealous. He's this understanding, like, hey, guys, this is how the thing works. Like, if you get me out of my proper order, everything else in your life will be out of order. You start moving towards things that just don't benefit your life. You start developing bad habits. Because why? God is God. Can we let him be God? Can we put him in first place? Can we put him in first place in our life? I think if we were able to take God and put him into first place, we would find that second, third, and fourth, and fifth place would order themselves. That all those other things, doesn't this sound like Jesus? I think it went something like this. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. See, I think we got to put God first place. What are we going to focus on first? Putting God in first place. So here's the question. How do we do that, right? Like, how do we get to a place where we are putting God in first place? Like, I think that's the real question, right? Like, because it's like, okay, Pastor, I get it. He's God. I got to put him in first place. How do I actually flesh this out in my life? Well, God has given us great tools that help us order our steps of going, man, is God first place in my life? And here's what I want you to understand. This is really my second point. Give God the first of everything. Give God the first of everything. Give God the first of everything. Well, how do you break that down? Like, what does that mean? Like, I give God the first of, like, everything. So, like, if I get a package of gummy bears, do I give God one? Like, I know people get hung up on this kind of stuff, right? So I don't really want to, God, here's your gummy bear. These 99 are mine. I'm getting hungry already. So how do we do this? I want to give you some practicals, like real practicals of how we can do this as a church, as a group of people, and what I believe God really wants to do. Let's give God the first of my year. Let's give God the first of my year. That's what this season we're about to enter into tomorrow, 21 days of prayer and fasting, is something that we will do in our church forever. The beginning of the year, we are going to pray first. We are going to put God in first place. We're going to say, God, you're number one before the vision, before any of the other things that we want to do. God, we're going to seek you first. What would happen if the next 21 days you went in with us on this? And you put God first place. You gave the first of your year. I think if we give the first of our year to God, the rest will be blessed. Doesn't mean it'll be free of difficulty, free of struggle, free of pain. But you know what, man? I would rather have God's favor working for me than just my grit to make it through something. So I want to encourage you, stop by the Pray First website. Like we've been saying through all this, there's all kinds of different kinds of fasts that you can do. All kinds of different participation. There's several additional prayer meetings that are going to be going on. There's a list of them on there, from women's prayer to men's prayer to everybody welcome to youth prayer. There's all kinds of different prayer meetings over this 21 days. On January 22nd, we're going to have a church-wide prayer meeting right here in this room where we're just going to pray. Lean into this season and make some room for God in the first of your year. This is my favorite time of year. Because it's a time where I'm going, man, God, I've got big uphill hopes for 2019. I want to have some great uphill habits that matches the hope that I have for 2019. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to give up so I can go up. I'm going to put God first place this year in my life. Come on, somebody, give me a good amen there. How about this? Give God the first of your year. Give God the first of your month. How do we give God the first of our month? Here's what I would really encourage some people. This is some really helpful things for your life. Is look at your schedule and your budget for the month. Like some of us, we consistently struggle with routine and discipline and budgeting and our finances because we really just don't have a plan for them. So sitting down once a month and going, asking this question, how about your scheduling? Have we scheduled God out of our calendar? Just think about that. Come on, life gets busy, right? Like you got this thing and that thing you got invited to and that thing. How do I know what to say no to? Well, I can say yes to a lot of things, but I'm definitely going to say no to anything that schedules God out of my life. I'm going to create room in my calendar, in my time. Mary, folks in here, you got to schedule. Look at your schedule. Is your wife, is your husband seen all throughout that schedule? You know what I mean? Me and Angela have a date night every Monday night. Our team knows it. Everybody knows it. 4:30, my phone goes off, and she gets my undivided attention until about 9 o'clock. And, like, we don't move it. Like, I don't move it because why? I'm going to schedule what I want to grow, to be repeated, to flourish. We got to schedule time where we're making God a priority. We got to schedule time where we're making each other a priority. If you have kids in here, you got to try to do your best to schedule time, not to just be around them, but to be intentional with them. And when we begin to do that, we begin to put God first place in the bigger picture of our month. How about our budget? So, and some of you are like, oh, here we go, you know. No, guys, I'm telling you this for the simple fact, I'm not trying to get money out of anybody, okay? I'm saying this because the Bible says in Deuteronomy that God gives us tithing to teach us how to put God in first place. That tithing isn't like there for any other reason but to teach us how to put God in first place. Because when God's in first place, the rest of it is taken care of and blessed. And so for me and Angela, this is something practical that we do to ensure that we're putting God in first place. We get paid twice a month. We know we get direct deposit on ours. So as soon as we get paid, the first thing, an hour later, from automatic deduction, our 10% goes to the church. Just without fail. Because I want to make a statement to my finances, to my spiritual world, to my own self, that God and God's people and God's house are number one to my life. I'm gonna put those, and so maybe I'd challenge you guys, some of you, to consider doing something that we have in our church called the 90-Day Tithe Challenge. And here's what it is. It's 90 days you commit to saying, you know what, 10% of our income, whatever I make, I'm going to give as God has asked us to do in the Bible. I'm going to give it to the church, and I'm going to believe that God is going to help me do more with 90 than I would have with 100. And as I do that, I'm going to believe that God's faithfulness. And here's our promise back, that the Bible actually says to test God in this. And Malachi says, test me in this. I think it's one of the only places in the whole Bible where God says, test me in this. Because God's saying, just test me. You put me in first place, you watch what happens. You watch what happens. And so we take that literally around here. And so at the end of the 90 days, if you've faithfully done it and you don't feel like God has shown up in your world, we'll give you your money back. Oh, yeah, we're serious. We're serious. Just look at a savings account or whatever, you know? We're serious. Because we believe. This is my hardest thing, guys, as a pastor, is to teach this principle and for it not to feel self-serving. So I think this is one of the best ways where people, I want you to test God. I want you to take God at his word. What would happen if I started putting my finances God first place, my marriage first place, my time, my month first place with God? Okay? How about this? The first of my week. The first of my week. I'm just breaking down. Our life is just a series of days, weeks, months, and years. So how do we put God first place in my week? Well, the good news is that you're doing it right now. Just think about it right now. Did you know that historically in church, the reason historians would tell us that the church made a decision to move church from Saturday to Sunday, one of the main reasons why was because they said, we don't want to end our week with God. We want to begin our week with God. We want to set a standard that when we come together in church, what we're saying is that Sunday is God's day. Sunday's God's day. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to show up to church. I'm going to serve. Here's a real breakthrough for some of you. Don't give God an hour and a half of your Sunday. Give him the day. Rest a little bit. serve a little bit more. It's not about what you do, it's about what is first in that day. It's the beautiful part about putting God Sunday. There's 52 Sundays in a year. How about this? 52 Sundays of putting God first could change the next 52 years of your life. I know it's a little extreme and it's a little hyperbole that I'm using, but I believe that. I believe, man, if people made a commitment, I'm going to be in God's house. I haven't missed church, I don't know, probably 12 years, not a single day. Like, if I'm sick, I show up because I need healing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a little old school like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be in God's house, you know? But I think it's one of the defining things for my life. This is a non-negotiable for me because God's number one. And there's something about when you come to church, man, and you leave, it's like, I'm starting my week with intentionality. I'm putting God first. I'm gonna put God first in my life. How about this? The first of my day. If I can get keys to come on up. The first of my day. The first of my day. You know what I think? If I can get God in the first of my day, over 7 days, he'll probably become the first of my week. If he's the first of my week, you may find him becoming the first of your month. He's the first of your month. How about we do this 21 days of prayer and fasting and grab a hold of God going into 2019? See, I think it starts with, God, I don't want you just to be first sometimes. I want you to be first today in my life. I want to share with you just a real helpful thing that I think could change some people's lives in here today. That when I wake up in the morning, God, I call it my first 15. My first 15, before I do anything else, before I touch my phone, because that thing will hijack my day straight away. Before I do any of that, before I do anything else, let me give Angela a kiss. Praise God. But I get up, and the first thing I do is I'll turn on a worship song. Just one. And I have prayer time in the evening. That's when I do best to have extended prayer time. But I want God to have the first part of my day. I want my mind to be fixated on him. What did our verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 start with? Fix your attention on God. I want my day to start that way. So I turn on a song. Hopefully it's a My City worship song. It's a good day, faithful to come. If you're struggling through it, we'll listen to you through. All the way through it. Get you some great worship music on. Sing What a Beautiful Name at the top of your lungs in the shower. Let everybody hear you. Start your day. I'm going to worship God. Before I've had a point of discouragement or somebody say something to me or somebody cut me off in traffic, I'm going to let my lips bless the Lord. God, you've been so good. You've been so faithful. I'm going to worship all the way through. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's one song usually. One good song. I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. God, help me through this day. God, let me walk after you today. God, let me respond with the love of Jesus to people. God, help me to know you better. God, walk with me through this day. You're my best friend. Would you walk with me through this day? 5 minutes. I'm gonna get 5 minutes in the Word. You can go online to the Pray First website, download a Bible reading plan, or you can go on your Bible app. The one we follow as the church is called One Story. Disciple in One Story. It goes through the whole Bible, the major narrative of the Bible. So you won't read the whole Bible. It's just little snippets, but it's going to walk you through the major narrative of the Bible. It takes literally 2 minutes. Sit there, pray on it, think on it. Your first 15. Imagine what would happen to your attitude, to some of those habits, to the frustrations, to the anxiety, depression. If every morning you woke up, and the first thought was, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to fix my attention on God. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to give him these 15 minutes. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to put God first. I think you might just find this thing that you've been trying to be. It's just a little less stronger than it was yesterday. It might be still there, but it's losing power. Because we're going to feed what we want to grow in our life. And we're going to starve what we want to go away. So I'm going to wake up and I'm going to put God thoughts in my brain. I'm going to put God thoughts in my soul and my spirit. And I'm going to worship and I'm going to believe and I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to watch my year be transformed. How many of you got 15 minutes in the morning? 15 minutes. You don't have to sit, you don't have to go in a prayer closet or whatever. Do it while you're brushing your teeth. 15 minutes, I'm going to fix my mind on God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to pray. I'll never forget when I learned this. I was a young kid. I'd only been a Christian for maybe 6 months. And I looked up to my pastor so much. He's such a man of God. Like, you ever just met people, like, you're like, he's such a man of God. He's so inspiring to me. Every time I see him, he had an encouraging word. But it was more than just encouragement. He'd walk up to me and he'd say, Jesse, I was praying for you the other morning. And I felt like, God, hey, how's it going? Like, what's going on here? And I'd be like, how do you know about that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just gave me so much confidence. I used to remember thinking in my head, if I could just live the way he did, my life would get better. He's got great habits. And I used to be always so frustrated. I'm like, how does he always seem to be up all the time? Just up, spirited all the time, excited about life, full of hope, and all this kind of stuff. And what I didn't realize was that he had habits that matched his heart. I remember I was going to the church one morning. It was real early. And I drove by. It was like 5 in the morning. I drove by the church. And there wasn't a parking lot, a big, massive church. There wasn't a person in the parking lot except for pastor's truck. I remember looking at it. I'm like, pastor must have left his church, his truck. So I swung in there. And then as I parked next to his truck, I could see the lights of the prayer center on. Pastor's in there praying, you know what I mean? So I walked over there and I saw him in there. He was praying, and I was like, man, that's so cool. I wonder if he just had a bad night's sleep. That was the thought in my head. I'm like, he probably doesn't do this every day. So I decided, I was driving home, I'm like, I'm gonna show up at 5 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, see what happens. I showed up and truck was there in there praying. So I'm like, I'm gonna start showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I used to sneak in. I was so hungry for to figure this thing out, because I had been so broken before. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to do all those things. So I'd sit, and he was in this other room in the prayer center that you could hear pretty good through. I told him this later on in life because it's a little creepy if you're too close in time to it. But I used to sit there and I used to listen to him pray. That's how I learned to pray. I listened to a man of God pray. He taught me how to talk to the Father. Didn't even know he was doing it. I remember one morning I came in and I was listening to him a little bit, and he was praying for me. He was just praying. I remember I was broke on the inside. I said, you know why his encouragement means so much to me and why I look up to that man so much? He had great hopes for me, but his habits behind the scenes were supporting every word of prophecy he spoke over me, every hope that he had over me. And when he looked at me and said, God has great things for you, it wasn't hyperbole, because he had been behind the scenes praying for me, believing for me, and he knew that God had given him a word that, what, if he could help me have my habits match the hope that God had over my life, something great could come out of it. And this year, what would happen? Let me ask you this question. What would happen in 2019 if you put God first? What could happen? What could happen if you started building some habits? Don't try to change the world in a day. These are uphill habits. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. The point is that God doesn't sit in condemnation. He sits in grace and empowerment and says, get up, boy. Let's do it again. Let's take another swipe at it again. It's going to be an uphill fight. But I'm going to put God first in 2019, because I don't want a year that I can do. I want a year that God can do. I think if we were going to put a hashtag on this year, how about this? Hashtag God first. What if we woke up every morning, God first? God first in our finances. God first in my marriage. God first in my home. God first in my life. God first in the first 15 minutes of my day. I think we may wake up at the end of 2019 and realize, wow, God did exactly what he promised he would do. I fixed my attention on God. He changed me from the inside out. and I've got a well-developed maturity going on the inside of me. How many of you believe that today? That God wants to build our lives in 2019 while we stand to our feet?
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.